So core values, the foundational beliefs of an organization, the guiding principles, the guardrails like lines on a field. They show the boundaries. They mark various spots on the courts or on the field that are important to know about. What's in bounds, what's out of bounds, where you score a touchdown, how far away you are from the touchdown, how close you are to scoring a touchdown. They connect the bases. If you see a thriving, successful organization, they will have clearly defined and supported core values. And the opposite is true as well. An organization that does not have clearly defined and supported values will struggle to survive. A little over a year ago, we started on a church-wide journey to better position ourselves where God wants us as a church. We've called this process Renewing the Focus, and we've had many people involved with various teams, different exercises we've done as a church. And we still have many chapters yet to go in Renewing the Focus, but the latest chapter in this journey has been for the leadership team to take all of this information and pray over it and think about it and discuss it and to start and to produce a mission statement, a brand new mission statement, and then to produce core values out of that mission statement. And so we're going to be getting to the mission statement on August 5th, so mark your calendars. A couple different reasons on August 5th. We got some really cool stuff going on. That whole day is just going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. But we're revealing our new mission statement that day, and then after church we are having a celebration, a thank you, and we'll be talking about that a little more later in the service. Leading up to that day, leading up to the mission statement, we are going to be revealing a core mission each Sunday in July. And so we are on our third core value. Each Sunday in July, we've got a core value. So today is our third Sunday in July, so it's our third core value. The Ten Commandments. We talked about the Ten Commandments last year. We talked about how they're divided in half. The first half of the Ten Commandments, they're talking about our relationship with God, our relationship towards God. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. You will not make or worship idols. You will respect my name. God says you will trust me enough to take one day a week and rest from your work. We think that's about us. It's our relationship with God. God says, you're going to trust me enough to work six and trust I'm going to provide you with 7 days worth of provision. I want to take care of you for that extra day that you don't work, that you rest. It's about our relationship with God. The second half of the Ten Commandments involve our relationships with each other's, our relationship with each other, our human-to-human relationships. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not greed after your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, anything your neighbor has. Just don't be greedy. Do not covet. As a leadership team, we have been praying and discussing our new mission statement for a while. And then we really, really worked through these core values. Once we settled on a solid mission statement, we started working through the core values. And I'll let you know, some of that process, one of the core pieces of scripture that our mission statement comes out of and that these core values come out of is the piece of scripture we talked about last week or the week before, where Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God. That was the first week, the first core value. We talked about this, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. We didn't talk about this a few weeks ago, but Jesus uses these two together. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you've got these two parts. Love God. Love others. Now, that's not the mission statement. I'm waiting until August 5th. But the gist of it is in two parts like that. Like Jesus' top two in the New Testament. Here are the two things that are the most important. Love God, love others. And this same model is the model that God uses in the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments. Here's your relationship with me, and here's how we're going to work this out, how it's going to be defined. And then here's your relationship with other people. Here's how this is going to work. Love God, love others. You have no other gods before me, and you know, don't make for yourself an idol, respect my name, etc., etc. Honor your father and mother. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not lie. Don't covet. So all of these, love God, love others. And so our mission statement has a two-part piece there, and our core values follow that. They follow out that same idea, that same model that Jesus modeled in the greatest commandment and that God modeled in his Big Ten in the Old Testament, that the first two are directly related. The first two core values we've talked about already, they are directly related to our relationship with God, how we're going to conduct that as a church, how we're going to conduct that collectively as individuals in the church. And that's connected to our growth in God. That's connected to our relationship with him, the maturity of our relationship with him. And we have to have a collective personal mindset, a collective personal heart set, a collective personal soul set in these first two core values. Core value one, that God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. It's core value number one. Core value number two, devoted to God. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Then the last three, so those two are God-focused. The last three are more focused on our interactions with people. They are focused on action. They're focused on taking these two that we just read, and putting them into motion. Today's core value serves as a great bridge between the first two and the last two. And it really connects these two together. And I can't wait till we get them all together, and then I'll be able to refer back to this and say, you see how this is the bridge? See how it connects it together? God is first, and all things following him is the priority, devoted to God, a full dependence on him, and a complete abandonment of self. And then core value number three, growing God's kingdom. Increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. That's core value number three. That's what we're going to be about, church. God wants his kingdom to grow. Please hear me on that and know that that's not just me speaking. God wants his kingdom to grow. Listen to a couple of these parables that Jesus shared. Mark chapter 4, I'll read these and I'll refer to a few other ones. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. It's growth. It's not only growth from happening, but every individual seed is maturing and growing. It's growth. God wants his kingdom to grow. As soon as it is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And again he said, this, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed. I love this simple little parable. It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows, and it becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can come and perch in its shade. It's a big garden plant. That wasn't a mustard seed out front that you took out, was it, Terry? I think it was growing. I could see some birds perching on those. So even bigger, what was that called again? Do you remember that thing that you pulled out? There was a name for that. We both knew it that week. What? What? Anyway, poke, that's what it was, poke weed. Yeah, so this mustard seed, even bigger. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a seed in a field. But while everyone was asleep, the enemy sowed bad seeds among the good ones. And this became evident as they came up and they realized, here's the intended crop and here's a bunch of weeds. And so the owner's servants came to him and they said, what should we do about the weeds? Should we go out and pull the weeds out? And God, I mean, the owner, the landowner, said, no, I don't want you to mess with it. I don't want to affect the growth of the good seed. I don't want that to be hindered. God wants his kingdom to grow. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed into a batch of dough. What does yeast do? It causes it to rise. It causes it to grow. Jesus told a parable about a farmer who scattered his seed all over the place. He scattered it along the path. He scattered it among some rocks. He scattered it among some thorns. And some fell on good soil. And what happened to the seed that fell on good soil? It grew. Not only did it grow, but Jesus went a step beyond that. It grew and it produced. It multiplied 30, 60, even 100 times. God wants his kingdom to grow. Jesus made that abundantly clear. This is not just a New Testament concept either. In the Old Testament, when God was giving the old covenant, the beginning of the covenant to Abraham, he said, look into the sky and see the stars, all the stars. They will be your descendants. That's how many descendants you're going to have. That wasn't just talking about the nation of Israel. Church, we are part of that. As many sand, grains of sand on the seashore, that's how big God wants his kingdom. Sand on the seashore, stars in the sky. I saw a Facebook post from one of my friends in ministry, Josh Long, who's the Presbyterian minister in Harrison. And he quoted a Rich Mullins song. And I'd forgotten about these lyrics. I might not have even heard them before. I know I've heard a lot of Rich Mullins songs. But sometimes you don't pause and think about every little lyric. And I thought these lyrics were really neat that he quoted. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Stars in the sky. We are part of the promise that God gave to Abraham. God wants his kingdom to grow. That is abundantly clear in Scripture. And so God's passion should be our passion, correct? As his followers, as his children, if God wants something, if God desires something, then we should want it. We should desire it. From core value number one, when we talked about a couple weeks ago, if we seek him first, if following him is the priority, not top priority, not first, it is the priority. We were very specific in the leadership meetings when we came up with that wording. And I have no idea who to give credit to, whatever different parts of those meetings. Every one of us had a part in those things. But when whoever it was that said, no, it needs to be the priority, the whole room was like, yep, that is correct. It's not first, because I think that's what it was at first. First priority. It's the priority. So in following him as the priority, then we will want the things that he wants. We will run after the things that he deems as important. We will value the things that God puts value on. Core value number two, when we are devoted to God, we have a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. We will devote ourselves to his mission no matter what it takes to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We will devote ourselves to his purpose, to his goals. His goals will be our goals. And we will stop at nothing to make them happen because we are devoted to God. And that's a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. We'll be devoted to carrying those out because God wants his kingdom to grow. And so we want his kingdom to grow. There's a passage in Scripture that's been affectionately known, named, labeled as the Great Commission. What chapter is that in? What book? What? Yes. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. I told you that for each of our core values, we have a key verse that goes with that core value. This is the key scripture for this third core value, and they are the last words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. After the crucifixion, the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples a number of times, and then he shares these words and then ascends up into heaven. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus starts off this famous passage by clearly stating his authority. Clearly stating his authority. He says, "I have been given," that the understanding that every one of us would grab from that, that Jesus would intend for us to get from that, that God has given Jesus authority over all of heaven, over all of earth. He's been given full authority. He's been given authority. His authority has a twofold exposure through this passage. One is that Jesus has the ability, the authority, to empower his followers to accomplish the task that he's about to give them. He has the authority and the power to empower them, and he has the authority to mandate this of his disciples. I think a lot of times we focus on the first one I mentioned and not as much on the second one. We think, well, he's an authority so he can empower us. We like that. He's an authority so he can command us. He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. It's one of the reasons I love Thomas's confession when he gets the opportunity to touch. I don't think he ever actually does, but he gets the opportunity. Jesus says, "Hey, here I am. Put your hand, touch the nail marks in my hands. Put your hand in my side." And Thomas's confession is, "My Lord, my God." He's not just our Savior. He's not just the Messiah. He is our Lord. And he has the authority to mandate this because he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus makes it very clear that about this authority before he makes this statement to us. Let's write this down. Jesus has the authority to command and empower his disciples to continue his mission. Twofold. He has the authority to command and empower his disciples to continue his mission. This is not just a suggestion. It's not just a wish or a desire. You know, guys, it'd be really nice if you do this and make me happy. You know, I'll give you cookies when you get to heaven. You know, it's not just something that would be nice. It's not bonus. It's not like the Mission Impossible messages. Your mission, disciples of mine, if you choose to accept it, is to make disciples of all nations. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck. Jesus doesn't say that this is yours if you choose to accept it. If you accepted him, he's your Lord. He's your commanding officer. Jesus states very clearly, he is in charge. And immediately connected to this, he's got two words. A connecting word and a command. This is who I am. This is the authority I have. Now, go. Therefore, go. Connecting his authority to the command. Therefore, go. Let's write this down. I have been commanded by Jesus. I have been commanded by Jesus to continue his mission. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go." That's a command. There's no other way you can read that. This is not a wish or a desire. It's not bonus for extra credit. He says, "I am in authority. Now go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you do this. You go. Go into all nations. Make disciples." Not only does Jesus' authority give him the jurisdiction to command his disciples, his followers, but his authority also gives Jesus the power to gift his disciples, to empower them, so they will be equipped to accomplish the task at hand. I've been commanded by Jesus, and let's write this down, I've been empowered by Jesus to continue his mission. Jesus gifts his followers. He gives gifts, charismatic gifts. Gifts of grace is what that means. Holy Spirit gifts. And he's given a gift to every one of us. Every one of us who have given our life to him, who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we've been given a gift. And the purpose of those gifts, the beauty of this, and this is why that this doesn't, it needs to be a personal dedication for every one of us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's a personal thing. But where this comes in as a core value for a church is this understanding that every one of us have been given gifts, and the purpose of those gifts is those gifts are to come together and work together so that we as a collective body, as a church, as the body of Christ, can accomplish the task that he has for us. Now, by myself, can I do some things that God has for me? Absolutely. Can I follow the Great Commission? Absolutely. Can you do that by yourself? Absolutely. Should we? Yes. Will we do it much better together? Yes. You will see things explode when a church comes together and we're all on the same page and we're focused on these core values and we have a mission statement and we get behind it and we support it and we run with it. Every one of us, like we're carrying a pennant, a banner. And those are the core values written on our heart from God's word, from scripture, that this, for our specific church, for Miami Town Church of Christ, this is what we're going to run after. This is the mission. And here are the core values. Here are the things that we value the most. These are the things that are going to govern us as a church. That God is first. He is the priority. That we are devoted to God and that we are growing his kingdom because that's what he wants us to do. He's empowered us to do that. You know, I don't think there's anyone here that would disagree with these theological points. In fact, you've probably heard them many times. I think we believe this collectively. I've taught on the Great Commission many, 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 many times. I expect to teach and preach and talk about and study and apply at deeper levels in my life. The Great Commission, many, many, many more times. You know, as you prepare a message like this, something you've talked about a number of times, there are a lot of thoughts that come into your mind. You know, how can I do something fresh here? What can I do to that I haven't said before, or an angle I haven't come at before? How can I better mobilize our church to use the gift that God has given me to better mobilize our church behind Jesus' mission? Well, maybe if I can get the right combination of words and deliver it with passion and emphasize certain things and have the power of the pause and use whatever techniques that God has gifted me with. Maybe if I balance the right amount of humor and scholastic comments. You know, the reality is, this scripture is just potent as is. There's nothing special that I can do or that I should do or that I need to do to bring anything more to this passage. It's the Great Commission, church. It is beautiful. It's powerful. It is perfect as is. I can't say anything more inspirational than the words that Matthew captured of Jesus in Matthew 28. I can't say anything more motivational than the words that are captured there in Scripture. I can't say anything more clear and to the point. There's no gray in this statement. The Great Commission, it doesn't need much explaining. It is what it is. What's different this time? What's different this time for me and for all of us here is that I'm teaching this as a core value of our church. And it is grouped together with the other two, the two before it and the two after. You know the two before, and you know how that's connected with that. And that's what sets this message apart from the other times that I've preached it, the other times that I've shared about the Great Commission, because it is coming to us as a church from the leadership team as we have prayed and sought out God's leadership and God's discernment on the core values of our church. And it's coming to us as a core value. Core value number three, growing God's kingdom. I think that's what makes the difference this time. It's put together. It's part of a whole. Core value number one, we will dedicate our lives to God as first. He is the priority. We will love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We will have no other gods before him because he is the Lord, our God, who called us out of slavery. When we connect this with core value number two, that we are devoted to God at an extreme level, that we will take up our cross and we will follow him, that we will deny ourselves, that it will be complete dependence on God, full dependence on God. Let me use a correct word for the core value we chose. Full dependence on God and complete abandonment of self. And then when we're living that way, for every one of us, the Great Commission will be read in a different light. The volume will be turned up. The lumens will increase. And it's not just a sermon to be preached. It's not just words to be studied in Sunday school. It's not just something to come across in a morning devotion and say, "Oh, I know that one." It's not just a piece of scripture we like because it has the word baptize in it. See, it becomes our life mission because of who God is to us and our relationship to him, because of who Jesus is to us. And we understand and we're reminded that he is in full authority, and that's where this comes from. And we're just in awe that he would include us in his soul rescuing mission of other people. That we would be included in that. He doesn't need us. How cool is that? That he says, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do this with me. I want you to do this with other people that are doing it also. That we bow our heart to him. We bow our brain to him, as we talked about a few weeks ago. We bow our will and our ideas. We bow our soul to him. And we are fully connected to this understanding of his authority. And that's why this is our third core value. Growing God's kingdom. This is what our church has to be about. Not because of who I am. Not because of who the leadership is here. Church, we have to be about this because of our relationship with God. And that's why it's core value number three. This is what we have to be as a church, because we are a gathering of Jesus' disciples, his followers, and that's what this church is. His church. And so we must be about growing God's kingdom. Growing God's kingdom. Jesus defines this for us in this passage. He doesn't just say, go and do this, and leaves us empty-handed. Let me read this again. He breaks this down, and it's beautiful. He says, all authority, next scripture, or next slide, there we go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Okay, so that's what you need to do. Here's how you do it. There's a two-parter. One, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then part two, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So you make more disciples. That's part one. You make more. And then you help them to mature. That's part two. You grow by adding people to the kingdom, part one. You grow by improving those disciples. That's part two. You grow by quantity. That's numbers. That's part one. You grow by, what's the word I'm going to use? Quality. That's value. That's part two. Very simple. God's kingdom. You grow God's kingdom by increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. Let's write this down. We grow God's kingdom through numerically increasing the amount of devoted disciples in the kingdom. That comes from part one. So in our core value, growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. So the first part of that is increasing devoted disciples of Jesus. And this is where it comes from. We grow God's kingdom through numerically increasing the amount of devoted disciples in the kingdom. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Produce. God wants his kingdom to grow. He wants the seed that falls on the good soil. We have good soil here now. I'm excited about the soil we have here. Amen. And that's not just me and leadership, is it? That's everyone that we're feeling it. Aren't we, church? We were talking about this. I love some of the ways that, you know, we had the leadership we had at different times for different phases and different seasons that our church was in. It's nice to be in a leadership meeting and an elders meeting and talk about how things feel different in our church. It just feels different. When you walk in on a Sunday morning, there's a different feel. Craig Rochelle, one of the leadership guys that I listen to, he calls the intangible, that growing things, thriving organizations, thriving businesses, thriving churches, they have intangibles, things that you can't touch, things that you just feel them. In church, we have that here. And I don't think it's just a select few of us that are feeling that. I believe it's the majority of us here. We feel something different. There's good soil here, and good soil is meant to multiply, to produce 30, 60, even 100 times. You can do the math on that on yourself, on your own. 120 on an average Sunday. 30, 60, 100. And then it keeps going. It just keeps growing. So we make disciples. We make disciples. We grow in number. We increase the number of disciples. You make more. You increase. The first part of this is that you lead someone to the point where they are ready to give their life to Christ, to be baptized into Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus describes in this passage. Now, there are many different elements that go into this. It can be a church service, a church event. It can be interaction with your neighbor. It can be interaction with someone at work. It can be a family member. And really, a large combination of all these different things. But none of these different things, and there's a lot of other different ways that you can touch and reach through serving, through loving, some of the things we do over here at the school, some of the outreach events that we have in the church, to get out into the community, to reach out. And there's so many different things we can do, but listen, none of those happen without us taking a personal initiative. None of them happen without that. That is the core part of that. That's the root of that. For all of us to say, we are going to be, as individuals, collectively as a body, we are going to commit to growing the kingdom numerically. We are going to do what it takes. I'm jumping ahead of myself. That's another core value coming up. Since that slipped out, I'll just share that one little. We're going to do what it takes. We're going to do what it takes to increase. To increase the kingdom. Every one of those elements involve personal initiative. Taking responsibility of the Great Commission. Invite someone to church. That's your initiative. You invite them to a church event. It's your initiative. You go and you serve. You go out into the world. That's your initiative. You talk with a neighbor. You talk with a coworker. That's your initiative. That's you saying, God is first, I'm devoted to him, and I'm going to be committed to growing his kingdom. And this is for all of us. This has to be important for all of us. to share God's grace, God's message of love, God's message of forgiveness, to be active in our relationships, to allow doors to open so that we will have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. As a core value, this is both for church-wide activities and it is for us as individuals, because it's not going to work for the whole church if it's not working for us as individuals. As a church, we will be more intentional here. This is going to be a big part of our focus. All five of these core values. This is the first one that moves into kind of an outward action. We are going to put more emphasis on a church of growing God's kingdom. And in both of these parts, the first part that we're looking at right here, numerically, by actively taking Jesus to other people, to doing what we can as a church to bring people to Christ by taking Jesus to other people. Numbers will be important to us. Why? Because numbers were important to Jesus. Not because we want bragging rights. Numbers were important to Jesus. Numbers were important to God. Look at the stars. Count them if you can. Look at the sand on the seashore. Jesus, the seed will grow and it will produce 30, 60, even 100 times. Mustard seed, huge plant. We saw some impressive financial numbers last week up on the screen. If you weren't here, then I'll have to have that up on, I'm a little behind on getting videos up on the online. The audios are there, but once I get the video, I'll be able to have that slide up there as well. It's impressive, and it's not impressive just because it's financial numbers. What's impressive about that number is that it represents our faith as a church, that we're stepping it up, that we're turning it up, and that's exciting. I want to see other numbers. I want to see numbers of people. Not just people that are coming here to serve side by side with us, people who have either been distant from church for a while and they're coming back to the kingdom as part of the fold. But more importantly, I want to see numbers of people who have given their life to Christ and been baptized into him as a result of our church being focused on growing God's kingdom. I want to see those numbers. Amen? Okay. It can't just be me. It can't just be me. It has to be the whole church. God said, or Jesus says, go into all the world, make disciples, and you baptize them. This is part one. Then part two is you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we will grow God's kingdom through numerically increasing the amount of devoted disciples in the kingdom. And then let's write this down. Part two, we will grow God's kingdom through personally developing the health of those devoted disciples of Jesus. Personally, write that word down and really let that hit. Personally developing. Grow God's kingdom, growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing, to increase and develop devoted disciples of Jesus. That's the core value. So part two of that goes hand in hand with part two of the Great Commission, personally developing the health of those devoted disciples of Jesus. We are responsible for the spiritual health. Repeat this after me. We are responsible for the spiritual health of God's church. That's not just the elders. Now, those in here, they said that and they meant it. I said it and I meant it. It's not just my job though. We've got some Sunday school teachers in the room. They said it and they meant it. But it's not just their job either. It is our job as a church to develop, to increase the health, to grow disciples, not just numerically, but to grow disciples into mature, healthy followers, devoted followers of Christ. This is not just the new sons and daughters. It's the older sons and daughters as well. It goes across the board. The maturing process never ends. The growing process never ends, and we must be about that, church. You might not have the gift of teaching. Your spiritual gift might be somewhere else. But it doesn't mean that you can't use that spiritual gift to increase the health of the church by investing in people with your spiritual gift. I love my gift. I love that God has called me to use the gift that I've got. Joe, do you love your gift? Yes. But we got other people. I told Doris I wouldn't pick on her without giving her a warning. Doris is a behind-the-scenes server. That's why she doesn't like me to mention her name on stage. Do you love your gift, Doris? Yes. Okay. She doesn't love it when I talk about her gift. But she loves her gift. Kurt, do you love your gift?
Absolutely.
So we use it. We use whatever gift we have to build up and grow the health of God's church. And we invest. The way this happens is we invest into others. We invest into people. And when you invest into something, that takes effort. When you invest into something, it means you're putting stuff in. You can't just go to a financial broker or go into a bank and say, you know what, I'd like to invest in some stocks and bonds. Can you please get some of these and get some of these and maybe I want to diversify a little bit? And then walk out. They're going to be... You need to come back here a little bit. We need to have a little discussion about what this is all about. In order for this to happen, you need to write a check. You need to give me something. See, when we invest, we give. When we invest into people, we are investing into them. And it means we give our time. We give our talents. We give our emotions. We give our energy. It takes thought to invest into other people. It takes intentionality. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes it might happen. It's not going to happen at the volume it needs to happen at unless we're intentional about it. We have to will that. We have to follow God's will and say, God, I want your will to be my will. God's will is to grow his kingdom. And so we say, you know what? I'm going to be about this. And I want to figure out how God has used or how God has gifted me. And I want to figure out how to use that gift to bring health to God's church by helping others to mature. Both new Christians and Christians that have been Christians for 50 years. And this is for all of us. We've all been commanded by our commander in power, our Lord. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. Now go, increase the number, and develop devoted disciples. Let me read just a couple verses here to you. When Jesus calls some of his first disciples, he says to them in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he says, come follow me. And what's the very next thing he says? I will send you out to fish for people. That's the beginning. That's Matthew chapter 4. You have the whole birth story in Jesus and his young, little after birth story with the trip to Egypt and whatnot, and then his baptism, and then out into the desert with Satan. And then he calls his first disciples, and he doesn't start with just come follow me and I'll fill you in on the rest later. He's very clear from the get-go, from the beginning. Come follow me. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you out to fish for people. This is what it's about. It's about growing God's kingdom. He doesn't mix words. It's at the beginning of the gospel. It's at the end of the gospel. And it's all through the middle of the gospel. Luke chapter 6. I love this little passage, this little verse here. The student is not above the teacher. Okay, he's in charge of us. He's a teacher. He's our student, or we're the students. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. That's cool. You can read the Gospels and you see what Jesus was about. We're like him. We've been gifted to be like him. We've been made new to be made into his image, to be like him. What did he do? He loved people. He reached out. He shared the good news of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is near. Those words came out of Jesus' mouth. Here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Oh, he talked about the kingdom of heaven all the time. How much do we talk about the kingdom of heaven? How awesome would that be when things turn around, when God is the priority, when we are devoted to him in such a way that we deny ourselves and we're fully dependent on him. And our focus is growing his kingdom. You're going to be like Jesus when we're doing these things. And our church will be like Jesus. I love the passage, and I believe it's Ephesians. This is way off notes. But when he talks about Jesus being the head of the church, and he says that we will all grow up into him to become a mature man. That the Greek word that he uses there is a description. It's not just a child. It's not just a body. But it's very specific that we will grow as a church to become a mature man. Every time I read that passage of scripture, I get a Jesus bobblehead in my head. Because I think sometimes that's what the church looks like, unfortunately. It's not our goal. But we have underdeveloped disciples, and so we've got this big, awesome, majestic, glorious head of the church, Jesus Christ, and this teeny little body, and it just doesn't fit. Paul said that we are to grow as we all use our gifts, as we are equipped together, as we move and strive together, that we won't be swayed by other teachings, that we will stay focused, that we will be unified, and we will mature into a grown man body. Why? Because Jesus is the head. And we will grow to match the head. We will grow. We will increase in number. We will increase as far as the way we develop, the way we mature as Christians. The very last part of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says that he will never leave us. So he shows us he's an authority. I have the authority to say this. I'm going to say this. I have the power to command you. I have the power to empower you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to grow God's kingdom. I want you to do this in two different parts. I want you to grow numerically. I want you to bring more into the kingdom. I want it to be more disciples. And I want you to develop the disciples you have. I want the church to grow in health. And he gets to the end of that and he says, guys, listen, I'm not leaving you. See, the irony of this, I don't think any of us really catch this because we see the whole Bible as like this whole picture. He says, I will be with you always. And then he floats away. It's like, what? See, we know that he sent the Holy Spirit. And he had told the disciples, but telling and the actual thing happening there in Acts chapter 2 is two completely different things. For them saying, well, what's this going to be like? What's going to be? How's Jesus going to be with us? And we get it. So let's write this down as our final note today. We faithfully believe that Jesus is with us always. And Jesus doesn't want us to miss this connection. He is with us always so that we will be successful in his mission. So that to help us to succeed in his mission. Here's the authority. Here is who I am. Here, and Jesus doesn't pull the authority card too awful much. He spoke with authority because of the way that he spoke. Other people accredited him with speaking with authority. But in this passage, Jesus does not leave this to be an understood part. I am in authority in all of heaven and all of earth. And here's what I'm telling you to do. Go and make disciples. Make more disciples, mature disciples. Increase and develop devoted disciples for Christ. Grow God's kingdom. In church, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you through this. You're not alone in this. We're coming into some really awesome times, church. And I know it's because of this promise. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you, Miami Town Church of Christ. I'll be with you, even to the very end of the age. And I'm going to help you to be successful in the mission that I've given you. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your command that you have included us in your mission. Father, I pray that you would help us to really reflect on these words of your Son, to really meditate on them this week. Father, that we would think about all the different parts of Matthew 18, or 28, 18 through 20. And that we would be inspired by your word, by your Son's commands, motivated, mobilized to really focus in on this third core value that we've been talking about. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.